Good morning. Do you ever wonder what God is up to in the world? Do you think there's a plan and a purpose? Are you confident in the story that's revealed in the Bible of how God's at work? Have you spotted that there's a story in the Bible that God's at work in the world? Well, if there's a plan and purpose, the day of Pentecost would seem to be a significant part of it. It's a major day in God's purposes in the world. But what immediately comes to my mind is, why does God not pour his Spirit out more randomly? Why does he not pour his Spirit out on the street outside here? Or at a football match when there's a crowd of people gathered? Does that occur to you? If the Holy Spirit is the breath of life, if the Holy Spirit is the one who generates life, was the agent who created life, if he's the one that convicts people of what's right and wrong, then why not pour him out everywhere? You see, the Holy Spirit is not to do with making us feel good. It's to do with bringing about change, making us into new people, giving us different appetites, different priorities in life, a capacity to act, to follow Jesus. So why doesn't the Spirit turn up in Syria, where they're having such a hard time? Or Sudan? Or some of the rough sink estates in Leeds? Or the Oval Office? It would seem to me from reading the scriptures that the Spirit of God is a gift from the Father, but at the Son's discretion. God raised Jesus to life. We all are witnesses of this. And on ascending to the right hand of God, he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, which he poured forth today. That's what Peter said. Jesus received the Spirit and poured it forth at Pentecost. Well, we shouldn't really be surprised at that. It had been predicted. John the Baptist said, "The one who's going to follow me, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. I'm not worthy to wash his clothes. I'm not worthy to do anything for him. He's much greater than I am. I only baptize with water. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Baptize, he will drown you. He'll overwhelm you with the Holy Spirit." Jesus spoke of the Spirit. He often talked of the Spirit and the role that the Spirit would have in people's lives. But he said that the Spirit is more than I am. He said that the Spirit will come to you and live within you. He will be a counselor, a guide, the Spirit of truth, which will tell you what is right and what is wrong. "I have to go," said Jesus, "so that he can come." He'll be the force in the world that will convict people of sin. Jesus predicted when it would happen. He said in a sort of roundabout way, "Come to me and receive the living water." And in John's Gospel, John explains that he was talking about the Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Nobody is saved unless they're born of the water and of the Spirit." And he warned the disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem until it happens. John baptized with water, you will receive the Holy Spirit." So this was all fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Peter remarks on the fact that at Pentecost, the promises that God had made were fulfilled. So again, why does God not pour out his Spirit wherever there's a hot spot, a troubled spot, a difficult place. Why does God not pour out his Spirit more randomly? You see, when the crowd asked Peter, what's going on, or what shall we do? How do we resolve our situation in life, this situation that we're in? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So to the question, where does the Spirit fall? Where is the Spirit poured out? He falls where people are seeking after Jesus. The Spirit on that day didn't fall in the temple, and the Spirit didn't fall anywhere else in the land of Israel. It fell where people were seeking out Jesus. There is a link between the giving of the Spirit and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul talks about the Spirit, it seems as though for him, receiving the Spirit, believing in Jesus, becoming a Christian, are synonymous, one and the same thing. He puts them both together. It seems to Paul that you can't be a Christian without the Spirit, and you can't have the Spirit without being a Christian. He says in Romans, if you don't have the Spirit, you are not part of Christ. He says in Ephesians, having believed in Jesus, you were marked with him and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It's impossible to follow Jesus, said Paul, or to live like him, unless you are led by the Spirit. Only those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. You see, you can't deal with your deepest need. You can't deal with your deepest need of God, of peace with God, of safety with God, without Jesus. There's a link between God coming to us and our faith in Jesus, our dependence upon him. But you can't pick and mix. You can't have life as it is, or life as it was, and simply tack the Spirit on. What God calls for is faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. And repentance is not feeling bad about yourself. Repentance is about taking a different course, turning around and going a different way. And this is what Peter told the people they needed to do. You need to go in a different direction. What you've relied on, what you've believed in, what you've trusted in for life is not enough. It won't work. You need to rely and trust on Jesus. Then the Spirit will come to you and your life will change. You can't believe in Jesus but sneakily have a fallback plan just in case he doesn't work. We have to place our faith in our Saviour and trust him. We can't be dependent on God but still have an insurance policy, something that hedges our bet. So we have to turn, abandon the ideas that haven't worked and don't work, and follow Jesus. So my question is, where will the Spirit fall today? Will the Spirit fall this evening at Alpha when we are looking at the second video in Alpha, why did Jesus die? And as people look at that and we have discussions, will the Spirit come to people as they realize they need to put their trust in Jesus? Think of that amazing occasion when Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his friends, and as he was speaking, the Spirit came. But what was he speaking about? He wasn't talking about football. He wasn't talking about anything other than Jesus. As he spoke to them about Jesus and advocated Jesus, the Spirit came. You see, We can't sort out our lives. We're not in control of all the detail. We can't be certain of what's going to happen next. If we knew what was going to happen next and were across the detail of life, we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need his help and his support. So we can't play God. We have to follow him. We have to know him. We have to rely upon him. Jesus said, "I've not come for the healthy. I have come for the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see, Jesus has nothing to offer you if you think you're doing okay. Jesus has nothing to give you if you think your life is sorted out. But if you feel as though life is overwhelming you, if you feel that at times your life is out of control, or you're being crushed and confused by life, if you feel lost or at sea, then you need to go to God. But it might be that you think, well, there's an obstacle. There's a problem with me going to God. I can't go to God. It's really not that easy. When I think about going to God, I think about the things I've done. What will he say to me? Will he put his finger on certain of my actions and on my conduct? Maybe you need to go to God this morning, but you can't do it. You can't find a way of going to God this morning. Well, Jesus offers that way. Jesus came and said, "Come into the kingdom. Turn from your old ways and enter the kingdom." It's not that Jesus and God are at odds with each other, but this is the wonderful way that God has made it possible for us to come to him through Jesus Christ. Our sins can be dealt with. That obstacle between you and God can be removed. And you can step in to his light, into his family. So the invitation is to come to God through Jesus. And Jesus will pour out his Holy Spirit. Jesus will make change in your life, will give you power and capacity to work for him. You see, the early church believed this and went out and told people about Jesus, believing that it would bring change in people's lives. The early church was confident of this. And this remains our mandate. The Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, but the same principles apply today. We can go to people and talk to them about our Saviour and about how he will give them access to God. And the Spirit will come and will bring change in people's lives. The Spirit is not just for Pentecost. The Spirit is for life. I'm going to hand back to Paul now, who will conclude our service for us.
Thanks, Jeff.